I listen to that song, and my heart wells up with the expectations that someday soon, we will be dining with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And with the Heavenly Father. We're going to talk about the hope today. You know, a lot of times we talk about the great promises of God that we can manifest in our life today and be more than conquerors and everything. But I want to give you a glimpse of the future, the hope that we have. And this hope that we have is so huge, so big, it's so motivating that it can carry us day in and day out, regardless what happens in our lives each and every day. This is one of the great subjects for the Christian believer, the hope of Christ's return. When he returns, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in the sky, he will gather us up together, those who are born again of God's Spirit. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive and remain. And they will ever be with the Lord. Ever with the Lord. We get to dine with him every night. Maybe breakfast, lunch, I don't know. Yeah, unbelievable. You know, we talk about the hope. We dream about it. I want to build for you how great this hope is, as best as I can, so that you can just have great expectations in your heart of what God has made available for us. And I've been looking at this the last few weeks, and I'm blown away. I thought I knew some things about the future with the gathering of the saints and the new heaven and the new earth and what's going to be happening and our connection with the Heavenly Father. But I'm just seeing greater and greater things. And why not? Our God is so huge and big, right? He created the heavens and the earth, the universe, the beauty that we are surrounded with in this world. And so, why not have great expectations with him? Amazing. So what is it going to be like? Have you thought about that? What's it going to be like when we are gathered together to be with the Lord forever, and down the road there'll be a third heaven and a third earth? You know, heaven will be on earth at some point. It'll be a paradise on earth down the road. And God wants us to know these things. Ephesians 1:18 says he wants the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He really wants us to know these things. So hopefully I can help you know a few things here. We're going to take a glimpse at it. It's amazing. We'll take a little look at the future here. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:44, it says, it is sown in the natural body, talking about us, we have this natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So at that time, when we are raised up to be ever with the Lord, we'll have a new body. We will be changed, it says in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll put on immortality. It'll be so fantastic, so tremendous. Man, oh man. There's two aspects I want to build for you today. No, I'm sorry, I'm going to build one, and I'm going to save the next for next week, okay? And these different aspects of the future that I want to share with you, number one, what we're going to experience with our Heavenly Father, the presence of him is going to be so bigger than I think we've ever thought it would be. So I want to share that today. And then Next week, we're going to look at this new heaven and earth and what it entails, what it's all about. I did have a song for this second part. I'm going to save it for next week, okay? We'll play it next week. But before we go any further, let me give you a very brief chronological order of what's going to be happening in the future. Christ comes back, gathers the saints, you and I who are born again of God's Spirit. We get a new body. It says we'll be ever with the Lord. After that time, certain events happen. There'll be an Antichrist. There'll be a great tribulation. Christ will return as time goes on. There'll be a 1,000-year millennial church they talk about. There'll be a final resurrection of the just and the unjust. And then in the end, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And this is where paradise will be made again on earth. And that's what we're going to look at next week. But this week, I want to show you and share with you the presence of our Heavenly Father that we will be experiencing. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about heaven, with my background as a kid looking at cartoons and stuff, what are we going to be like in heaven, you know? We got these long white robes, right? And we maybe have wings. I've seen wings on some folks. But then we all have what on top of our head? The halo. Yeah. I don't see that in the Word. But there's some great things for us to look forward to. You know, God's intention from the beginning was to have fellowship with His man and His woman. And in the beginning, in Genesis, we see that, don't we? We see that God walked and talked with Adam and Eve, and it was a beautiful paradise, very idyllic, fantastic. Because God really has a heart desire to fellowship with His children. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God desires everybody to get born again of God's Spirit so that He can have them in their family, His family. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the heart of our God. He wants everybody to have the experience of the future with Him. Do you remember in John 14:2, Jesus talks about, I'm going to go to my Father's house. And what is in His house? Many mansions. Yes. Many mansions. And I would have told you, it goes on and says in the verse, I go to prepare a place for you. He's been working on this place for 2,000 years. It's going to be fantastic, isn't it, the future? Wow. Pretty neat. You know, if God poured Himself out into an idyllic paradise in Eden, would we expect anything less in the future, the new heaven and earth? No, no. So, Revelations. Revelations 21 and 22, the last couple chapters there, share about this new heaven and earth. So I'm going to look at Revelations 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Sounds like a great arrangement, right? We're going to be a part of that, a big part of that. And God will be dwelling with us, and we will be His people, and He will be our God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away, boy, I love this verse, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for for the former things are passed away. Woo! Hallelujah. No more pain. Man, I used to love surfing, going out surfing, you know, you jump up and catch the wave. I can't do that anymore. My joints and stuff, just they're not there to do that. But I'm wondering if we can go surfing, Ralph, in paradise. What do you think? New heaven and earth, why not? It does say, as a side note, I don't think there's going to be a sea. But that's another. I should have probably mentioned that but it says something like that in there. We'll figure it out one way or another, huh? You know, we're going to be, verse 22. We got to go to 22. Next chapter, 22, verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We will see God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, face to face. And this is what I want to really build for your expectations, that we will be in the presence of God Almighty. Now, I get it. We have God in Christ in us today. We have that connection, right? We can walk and talk with him. But boy, when this happens, this third heaven and earth, it'll be so dynamic, so big, so much in our face. Now, you all know Moses, right? Moses, more than probably anybody else in the Bible, maybe some exceptions, had a great relationship with God for years and years and years, didn't he? Went up to the mountain, got some commandments. He was up there, 40 days? I think he did it again. He had quite a relationship with God. And he wanted to see God face to face. Exodus 33. Let's look at this. This is interesting. Exodus 33, verse 18. We're going to start there. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He wants God to show him his glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I shall show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see what? My face. God's telling you, you can't see my face. For there shall no man see me and live. Whoa. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft. There's a little cleft in the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Can you picture this? And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see what? My back parts. But my face shall not be seen. Poor Moses. But I think he was blessed just to see what he saw. He saw the glory of God in such a big way. But for you and me in the future, we're going to see him face to face. We'll have such a great dynamic presence with him. Oh my golly. This is what we get to look forward to. Yeah. That's why the hope should be so motivating for us. We can have the worst day of our life, but we know the hope. There'll be a day where we'll be with the Heavenly Father forever and ever. Oh my goodness. Living in the new heaven and earth will be so exciting, thrilling, amazing to see God Almighty face to face. Have you ever seen a celebrity person, you know, some famous person? You know, a lot of people get excited if they could see, what's a famous person? Give me a famous person. Who's the gal that sings and married, or not married to a football player, but the girl? Huh? Swift. Taylor Swift. Wouldn't you love to have a lot of you are shaking your heads. No? Okay. But Julia Roberts. To see a celebrity, you get all excited, don't you? When I was a senior in high school, back in the day, early 60s, my hero, my celebrity of choice, was the Kingston Trio. And some of you probably never heard of them. Kingston Trio, if I could just see. I got to go to a concert, and this is probably the only concert I've ever been to, the Kingston Trio concert. And we were like 10 rows back from the front, and there they were going to perform. But you know what happened? We got there early. It was an outside venue, and this guy came up to us. There were myself and two couples, myself and another couple. This guy comes up, how would you like to meet the Kingston Trio backstage? All right. We went backstage and hung out with the Kingston Trio. Really. Their wives were there. They took a picture of us, and we were in the newspaper. And they had in the newspaper, they have a youth section, you know, young people doing stuff. And so, man, oh, man. Oh. But what about God? How big is He? Oh my gosh, when we come face to face with Him, we're going to have some great times. You know, I think, I don't know about you, but people talk about, you know, when we go to heaven, we'll just be floating around in the clouds smoking 50-cent cigars. I don't think so. You know, and some people think, we're going to be boring. What are we going to do? Hey, I'll tell you. There's going to be a lot to do. Some great, exciting adventures are going to be before us forever and ever. And the biggest thing is that we'll face to face with God Almighty. Wow. I got to share with you an article. I've been reading a book. The title of the book is Heaven. It's by a man by the name of Randy Alcorn. And a lot of interesting stuff in here. And I'd like to share his perspective, which I think really communicates what I'm trying to share with you. There will be always, and he's talking about the third heaven and earth here, okay? There will always be more to see when we look at God, because his infinite character can never be exhausted. We could and will spend countless millennia exploring the depths of God's being and be no closer to seeing it all than when we first started. This is the magnificence of God and the wonder of heaven. Theologian Sam Storms writes, "We will constantly be more amazed with God, more in love with God, and thus ever more relishing His presence in our relationship with Him. Our experience of God will never reach its consummation. We will never finally arrive, as if upon reaching a peak we discover there is nothing beyond. Our experience of God will never become stale. It will deepen and develop, intensify and amplify, unfold and increase and broaden and balloon. Beholding and knowing God, we will spend eternity worshiping, exploring, and serving Him, seeing His magnificent beauty in everything and everyone around us. How much greater will it be to see God in glory? Then there could be no higher privilege, no greater thrill. All our explorations and adventures and projects in the eternal heaven, and I believe there will be many, will pale in comparison in the wonder of seeing God. Yet everything else we do will help us see God better, to know Him and worship Him better. Eden's greatest attraction was God's presence. The greatest tragedy of sin and curse was that God no longer dwelt with His people. But he will be dwelling with us. Will we ever tire of praising him? Augustine writes, God himself, who is the author of virtue, shall be our reward, as there is nothing greater or better than God himself. God has promised us himself. God shall be the end of all our desires. Who will be seen without end, loved without cloy, and praised without weariness? Then he shares his story, and it's a really neat analogy. I'm going to close with this story. The Blind Boy and the King. And this story was published in 1871 by a fellow by the name of Bordeaux. And he tells of a kindred king who finds a blind, destitute orphan boy while hunting in the forest. And the king takes the boy, receives the finest education. The boy is extremely grateful, and he lives and loves the king, his new father, with all his heart. When the boy turns 20, the surgeon performs an operation on his eyes, and for the first time, he is able to see. The boy, once a starving orphan, has for some years been a royal prince, a home in the king's palace, but something wonderful has happened, something far greater than the magnificent food, gardens, libraries, musics, and wonders of the palace. The boy is finally able to see the father he loves. Whew. And that's something. The boy's rescue by his father is analogous to our conversion. We come to know God's love and enjoy his presence. When we die, we'll be with the Lord, and that will be wonderful. We will yet fully see God's face. The great day we await is the establishing of the new heaven and new earth, where we are told, as resurrected beings, as we actually see the face of God. Wow, isn't that something? You see, there's no greater experience than being with the Creator of the heavens and the earth, our Heavenly Father. And we are going to experience Him in the most wonderful ways. So I trust you've seen a little glimpse of what's in store for the future. And we'll get into the new heaven and earth next week, okay? So Father, thank you for who you are. Man, oh man, you are so great, so wonderful. I know this world maligns you and makes you look bad and evil sometimes, but you are a God that's all good. All good. You are so beautiful, so wonderful, so giving, so gracious, so merciful. We are so, so thankful that we can be your kids, born again of your Spirit, incorruptible seed, with the expectations of the hope of Christ's return, and ever be with him and with you face to face. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful privilege. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.